Deuteronomy chapter 8. Read this in connection with Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll read the entire chapter. Chapter 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God has led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God has chastened you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out and of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good to you in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you were not obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Then let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 to 34. And you'll see earlier in this chapter, verses 9 through 13, that this is the chapter in which Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And then the rest of the chapter expounds and explains various aspects of this prayer. And so we read some of that explanation, 25 through 34. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thus far our scripture reading, and we also turn to our confessions, the summary of the doctrines of the truths of God's word, and we read together Lord's Day 50. Which summarizes for us what God teaches us about the fourth petition. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of every good, and that neither our care and our work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are so familiar with the Lord's Prayer that it's easy to miss. But there's a distinctive shift in the Lord's Prayer between the third and the fourth petition. We start out by petitioning that God's name be hallowed, that God's kingdom be multiplied on this earth, and that as the angels obey God's will in heaven, so it would be followed on earth. There's a heavenward focus to the first half of the Lord's Prayer. And so it can come almost as a shock when we hear again the fourth petition. Our prayer, it shifts from the soaring heights of God's glory, his kingdom, to something so simple, so everyday, so normal as bread. Yet here it is. When Jesus was asked by his disciples how to pray, he instructed them also to pray for their daily bread. And the simplicity of this request, it should not be missed or disregarded. There have been those throughout history who have thought that physical bread is too lowly of a subject for prayer. And so they claim that this bread must be referring to some kind of spiritual bread that is needed for the upbuilding of our souls. However, this is missing the point of this petition. And the Catechism makes that clear We need physical nourishment to live, and we ought to look to our Heavenly Father for it. And so I bring God's word to you with this theme. Pray that our Father would provide us with our daily bread. We'll see that this requires first knowing our needs, and secondly, it requires a heart of faith. So first, it requires knowing our needs. In our reading from Deuteronomy, we saw that God's people had to learn and understand to pray this petition. Deuteronomy contains the words of Moses as he is speaking to the people Israel as they are about to enter into the promised land. Moses takes this opportunity in chapter 8 to recount their journey from slavery in Egypt to the promised land where they are just at the doorstep of. And he takes the opportunity to reiterate the commandments of the Lord. Chapter 8, it highlights God's faithfulness to his people as they enter the promised land. Verse 2, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you. He humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna. The Israelites, they had been rescued by God's mighty hand from Egypt on the night of Passover, and then they were brought through the Red Sea, Exodus 14, and then already in Exodus 15, they were grumbling over the lack of water. And then in Exodus 16, they grumbled again against Moses, saying, would that we have died in Egypt when we sat by meat pots and we ate bread to the full. They had left the food security of Egypt, and now God was calling them to trust. And even though they had demonstrated that lack of trust, God sent them manna, enough for each family for one day. God was, in a way, teaching them to pray the fourth petition. Lord, give us manna today so that we may eat and be able to continue in our journey to the promised land. It's easy to dismiss the Israelites as a grumbling and unfaithful people. But we so often need the same instruction, the same teaching today, to be instructed to pray for our daily bread, especially in the midst of our relative abundance and affluent society. The fourth petition, it teaches us to pray for what we need for today. The word bread, it represents the basic necessities, the staples which we require in order to live. What our necessities are, it differs in specifics from one culture to the next, from one person to another, but the common factor is that we are asking God to provide what our bodies need. It goes beyond just food. The Catechism makes that clear. Recall the people of Israel, as we read Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. As they wandered in the wilderness those 40 years, God ensured that their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. And so in the fourth petition, we are praying that God would give us food, but also a clothing, a roof over our heads, the things that are necessary for life and for health. And this does not mean that we cannot have luxuries, anything beyond the bare necessities. No, when God blesses us richly, as he so often does, we ought to enjoy those gifts and to thank him for them. But we should be careful about praying for them. We ought not to pray for wealth, for luxuries beyond what we need, for the finer things in life. Listen to the warning of 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yes, God may choose to give us riches and luxuries, but the fourth petition is a humble prayer that God would give us what we need. That word need, it's a difficult one for us. especially in our Western society, where we live comfortably, our needs met, and so much more. And as we enjoy rich blessing after rich blessing, it's so easy to begin to blur the lines between what we want and what we need, to think of those extra things as necessary. And so how do we know if we are praying for what we need? How do we know that we are asking God for our bodily needs, our physical needs, as the Catechism says? Our needs are things we require for life, yes, but more importantly, our needs are things we require in order to do the task that God has set before us. Our things are needs we require in order to do the task that God gives us. And this truth, it's illustrated in the connection between the fourth petition and the previous petition. In the third petition, we ask that God's will be done, and we learn to submit every aspect of our lives to God's will. And then in the fourth petition, we are asking God for the things we need in order to be able to live and to do that will, the one we just asked for. First, we seek God's will. Then we ask him to provide our bodily needs so that we can do it. And this order was used as well by Jesus in our reading from Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is what we eat and what we wear. And this is evident from Deuteronomy chapter 8 as well. Look at how the chapter begins. It starts with Moses exhorting God's people to obey God's commandments as they enter the promised land. And then he encourages them with the fact that God has and will provide what they need in order to obey God's will. And God's will at that point was to go in and possess the land and subdue it. And God fulfilled that promise. Later, we read in Joshua, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. God provided manna for the people so they could travel through the wilderness. And then as they enter the promised land, God provided for them in that place and in that situation as well. So by asking God for our daily bread, we are asking God to give us what we need in order to do his will. To make this concrete, think of a farm in harvest season. Maybe hard to imagine with the snow blowing around, but maybe your mind can go there. The boss, he gathers his employees early in the morning, and he lays out the plan for today. There's a field over there that needs to be harvested. Someone needs to pick up the empty wagons from the previous field, and someone still needs to grease the tractors. And the boss may delegate all he wants, and the employees may even be eager to do their tasks. But unless the boss provides the employees with what they need, diesel for the tractors, a vehicle to get the wagons, the employees won't be able to complete their assigned tasks. In a similar way, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are asking first, God, show us your will, third petition, and then we ask that God would provide us with what we need, the fourth petition. This is true in every one of our lives, in every situation. For example, a student might pray, Lord, you have called me to go to classes and to do my best. Please give me my daily bread so that I may have the energy, the strength to focus and to use my gifts. A mother might pray, Lord, you have called me to care for this family and keep this home. Give me my daily bread so that I may have the health to nurture these children and the tools I need to maintain this home. Or a young couple about to be married. Lord, you have called us to a life together in your service. Give us our daily bread. That is, give us the income necessary that we may be able to rent or buy a home and live and start a family together if you so bless us, or those among us who are retired. We can pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us through our food the energy and the strength to be able to use these years to serve our family and to serve the communion of saints in which you have placed us. Whatever God has called you to do, also as we at the beginning of the year look ahead to this year, whatever God has called you to do this year, pray that he would supply your physical needs so that you would be able to carry out your calling to his honor and to his glory. Congregation, this is not a prayer we deserve to pray. In the Garden of Eden, God had provided Adam and Eve with everything they needed in order to complete their tasks. But in Adam, we rejected God's perfect provision and we turned our backs on him. And yet we can pray this prayer to our Heavenly Father, not on our own merits, but because of the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave up the glory of heaven. He suffered body and soul on this earth. He was rejected by the Father so that the Father would never turn his back on us when we pray to him for what we need. Truly, we can say, what an immense joy it is to be called children of God. We are blessed to start our prayers with our Father in heaven. We've been adopted as God's children, and as his children, we can trust that God knows our needs, and he will provide for us. And when we pray the fourth petition, we are asking God to provide us with what we need, but also trusting ourselves to his fatherly care. He knows what is in store for us, and he also will provide us with what we need for that. And when we pray the fourth petition in this way, it takes on a kingdom focus. The very bread we eat, the meal that you'll have after this service, is all part of God's kingdom work. God is equipping you for his task, the task that he has given you. And so it becomes clear that praying this petition is an act of faith. When we pray for our daily bread, the Holy Spirit also works to change our hearts, as we will see in our second point. As was said earlier, this petition, it focuses in on our physical nourishment and physical needs. However, when we pray this prayer, God is at work in our hearts spiritually as well. By providing for our physical need, God also seeks to teach and to train our hearts. This is where the authors of the Catechism go as well. Provide us, it says there, provide us with all our physical needs so that God not only wants to give us what he needs, but also to shape and to mold us. In the first place, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and our work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And secondly, that this acknowledgement would cause us to withdraw our trust from all creatures and to place it in him alone. And this same heart attitude change, it needed to take place in God's people, Israel, as well. Again, from our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, you shall remember that the Lord your God has led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart. And then verse 4, that he might make known to you that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You should know that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. During that time in the wilderness, God was teaching and training his people so that they would understand that they were wholly dependent on God for all things. This was true as they journeyed through the wilderness, eating manna. But even when they entered the promised land and settled there, they still had to learn this lesson. Their growing season success was dependent on God sending rain in due season. Yes, they would no longer receive manna each day, but they were still dependent on God to bless their labor and the crops they planted. There's not many of us who work the ground for our own food. We have often jobs which provide income. We make investments to provide security for the future. The stores always have food on the shelves. There are others that sell clothes and other items we need. We don't think twice about the clean, fresh water that flows from our taps when we need it. And if all else fails, society has set up programs to help those in need. And these are certainly blessings. But the problem arises when we don't consider them or acknowledge them as such. Part of praying the fourth petition is learning to acknowledge that all these things, these necessities, but also the comforts and the luxuries, come to us from our Father in heaven. Even the fact that our bodies respond to the food we eat, it doesn't happen by chance, but is a blessing from our Father. By asking God for our daily bread, we ought to learn to acknowledge that all these things come to us from his hand. And without his blessing, they cannot do us any good. And God, he delights to do so. The Catechism, it describes God as the source of all good things. We pray for our daily bread, but so often God blesses us with so much more. The imagery is of blessings bursting forth and showering down upon us, his children. For God delights to bless his people. We see that in the promised land as well, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. This is not a land of bare necessities, but a land of rich abundance. So too here in Canada, when we take stock of our lives, when we consider all that we have, we quickly realize that God has lavishly blessed us. It's a reason for thanksgiving. We ought to day in and day out come before God in prayer. Thank him for his gifts. Thank him, the source of all good, for his blessings. We must also, however, watch out. The devil can use these blessings of God to undermine our faith and to make us complacent. It was a danger faced by the people of Israel. Moses had just finished laying out the blessings that they could look forward to in the promised land, as we read. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on, verse 11, beware. Watch out. Be on guard. Beware, congregation, lest you forget the Lord your God. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, then your hearts are lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. The danger is, congregation, that we start to feel as though we have earned God's blessings. We feel like because we have worked so hard, because we were careful with our savings, that we have earned this or that luxury. Those things are not bad, but God, he wants your heart. Think of the parable of the rich man who, after a good harvest, said to himself, I will relax, build bigger barns, eat, drink, and be merry. What did God say to him? You fool. This night, your soul is required of you. What happened to the nation of Israel when they forgot to rely on God for their daily bread? Just as he promised, they were pillaged by other nations and taken into exile. Brothers and sisters, let us never slide into that kind of thinking. Pray the fourth petition by the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to acknowledge that all our needs come to us from our Father in heaven, and that they can only do us any good because of his blessing. It's a different perspective than the world around us, isn't it? The world so often is driven by the desires of the flesh, desires to earn money, status, power, and they put their trust in these things to bring them what they need. They depend on them for happiness, for stability, a sense of purpose. And it's so tempting, so easy for us as believers to fall into this trap. It's all around us, after all. The culture, the entertainment, the advertising. And when that temptation arises in your heart, fall on your knees and pray the fourth petition. Pray that your heavenly Father would provide you with what you need. Pray that you would learn to see the blessings in your life as gifts and not earnings. And pray that God would teach you to place your trust in Him alone. We need to learn this trust through the power of the Holy Spirit because it does not come naturally. The Catechism says that when we pray the fourth petition, we are praying that we would withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. It's a very real, a very practical prayer. It was for God's people, Israel. They were entering a new and unknown land, and they had to learn to withdraw their trust from themselves and place it wholly in God to defeat their enemies and to provide for their needs. In a similar way, rather than looking to our jobs, our bank accounts, or the society in which we live for security for our daily bread, we look to our Father in heaven. God may choose to use those things as a means by which to give us our daily bread, but our trust needs to be placed in the one who blesses our work and who gives us the strength to do it. As God's children, we can rest in this security. We have a Father in heaven who knows our needs. He's not just our Father, he is Almighty God, the one who is able and willing to provide our daily bread. This truth, it gives us great comfort and peace, even among the difficulties of life and the uncertainties that this life on earth brings. And even if, in God's providence, all our earthly blessings would fall away, as God's children, our hope is not just in the here and now. Our hope is eternal. It does not rest on the things of this earth, the food we eat, the jobs we have. No, our hope rests on the one who came to this earth, born as man. He lived and died so that we could have life. Our hope is in Christ. What a glorious hope it is. We can worship and rejoice, as we were called to do this morning, because it is Christ Jesus, our Savior. It is through him that we can have rock-solid certainty that there awaits us in heaven a dwelling place where there will be no more hunger or famine, or war, or uncertainty. There we will have our every need perfectly met. And even more than that, it will be a blessedness such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. A blessedness in which we can join with the heavenly choir, singing the praises of God for all that he has done. And as we look forward to that day, do so with a heart of faith, a heart of faith which looks to your heavenly Father to equip you with all you need to do his will. As children of God, brothers and sisters, we can confess with the psalmist, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that we can address you as our Father, that even though you are creator of the universe and everything in it, we can come before you in prayer and humbly bring our requests before you. Thank you for sending your Son to be born into this world and to die on a cross so that salvation might come to all nations, that we, sinners as we are, could be adopted as your children. And as your children, we wish, Lord, to praise you for all your mighty deeds. Not only did you create this world, but you continue to uphold and govern it by your hand. And Lord, even as you govern this world as a whole, you are near to each and every one of us. You know the needs of each individual here, of each family as well. You desire to provide us with all we need to do your will. We acknowledge, Lord, that we so often don't see you as the giver of all good things as we ought. We so easily rely on our own strength, on our own abilities, and so work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would learn to look to your fatherly hand for all that we need. Be with us, Lord, as we go from here. Give each and every one of us our daily bread that we may be able to serve you this week. And help us, seeing your provision, to respond in faith and to praise your goodness towards us. This we pray through the blood and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.